Rule 5B, nominations are now closed. We will now move to a vote. The question is on the election of Laura Trump as co-chairman of the Republican National Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes have it, and Laura Trump is elected as co-chairman of the Republican National Committee. Madam Co-Chair, congratulations. I would like to invite you to the podium to make a few remarks.
Look at the swing states right now. Look at North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Florida. Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden in all these states. Whenever you ask people around this country, what is your number one concern? Immigration. What is your number two concern? The economy. These are places where Joe Biden has consistently failed. People want common sense. They want their life back. They want a better life and an easier life, and they know who delivered it for them. It was Donald Trump. And that is why at the RNC, we are very focused on this. We're going after all of those voters. We have to raise a lot of money, and I have great news. I brought this up here today because I wanted everyone to know that already I have a check for the Republican National Committee for $100,000 that has been donated as of today. As of these nominations going through. Yeah, we're starting today, folks.
Why are illegal immigrants more important than Americans? I'd like to hear an answer.
Why are illegal
immigrants more important than homeless people sleeping on the streets? Why do we in one of the biggest economies here in California take care of illegal immigrants, but our people are sleeping on the streets? I'd like to hear an answer to that. Why? Nobody can ever answer
that
question. Why don't people put American citizens first, but illegal immigrants get everything? And I hope you post this. I want this to go viral because I give a damn and I care about my community. My dad is a retired Navy captain. He served our country honorably. My grandfather is a retired Navy captain, and I'm doing my part to help our country. The Democrat Party does not put our people first. They put sanctuary cities first. They put illegal aliens first. They tax us. They tax our water. You can't even do laundry and shower on the same day. While Nancy Pelosi is getting hundreds of thousands of dollars robbing our pockets. It's not doing anything for our people, not passing legislation, passing out pens like they're candy.
Hey, welcome back to Inside Four Walls. I'm your host, James Madison, and I've been gone for a bit. So, that Mike Tyson episode that went up earlier was recorded a couple days ago before this one. I had a county convention, then a prepping for a state convention, a lot of stuff with the electoral side of things, and then, picking hours back up at work. So, today's episode's probably going to be one or two tops if I get them uploaded today. I work at 9. It's almost 7. And I'm recording this. I'm probably not going to get anything uploaded today. This probably will go up on Thursday then. Alright. So, I'm just thinking to myself out loud right now. So, you probably get nothing news right now. The first two uploads at least. And then when I get back home, I'll have the time to actually read and do some episodes on more pressing issues. And there's a lot of pressing issues going on right now. That being said, let's just kind of like light news, shall we? RNC memo outlines plans to deliver GOP wins in the 2024 election. New leadership says it's committed to winning House seats, winning Senate seats, and winning the presidency. By Adrian Norman. Yep. Out with the old and in with the new, as it were. And it actually seems to be new leadership. I'm not really one for nepotism, though it's worth mentioning that this Trump is married into the family, isn't actually, like, blood-related, and has openly had qualms with the old man before, so we'll see how it goes. Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Whatley has sent out a memo outlining the organization's bold new strategy to bring about success in this fall's election. The organization's focus comes days after new leadership at the RNC fires. After the RNC fires around 60 staffers, a purge, some called a absolute bloodbath. good choice of words. I'm sure there's zero in the modern day media right now that's that brought bloodbath to mind. Yes. By the way, I know. Talk about the automotive industry. I do love that. I had a coworker who came to me like, so what do you think about his comments? It's like, what do you mean? What do you think about what Trump said? I'm like, oh yeah, dude, I want to fucking, I hope he wins so we can avoid having a bloodbath. It would be a shame to have a bloodbath. And I just sat there with this big fucking smile on my face as his coworker looked like his vag just started to seep through his pants. Poor bastard. And I was like, you should probably go do some actual research. Go watch the whole clip, dog. He's like, I just heard him. And he, like, walked off all, like, disquieted, only for a couple people later to be like, what did you do? And I told him a couple co-workers thought it was funny as hell. Why? Because I'm funny as hell. Granted, hell's really not that funny. Absolute bloodbath. As it shifts priorities and charts a new course in line with supporting former President Donald Trump's bid for the White House. As part of the shift, Whatley wrote, the RNC will be merging operations with the Trump campaign. We are now a united operation and a united front. Again, this is all good and dandy. This is what the RNC should do and should have been doing. Oh, fuck the fucking last two elections now. Why? Because it's the RNC's job to back the front runner for the GOP ticket and to as best as possible evenly distribute campaign funding and finances to races and, if needed, extra supplemental funds to campaigns that need extra funding. Ronna Romney McDaniels was playing favorite to the point where she even yelled, "You're not getting another dime!" at Vivek Ramaswamy, who held the sign that says, "Resign now, McDaniel." Yeah, she threw a whole fucking bitch fit about that, threatened to withhold his campaign finances, which she's not legally allowed to do, but she did. And no one pressed lawsuits, no one charged her for it, no one pursued that. She was never legally allowed to pick and choose who got the money. There's supposed to be a cost assessment done for each individual campaign to roughly assess how much money that campaign needs and if that money is in the reserves and the funding the RNC has on hand. If not, then supplemental smaller payments have to be made at time until more fundraising can be done. Romney McDaniels was literally placed there to only back people like McConnell. To back these deep, backed up figures who've been in the system for a very long time and do very little of anything to actually push the American causes and agendas forward. Bought and paid shills like her own uncle, Mitt Romney. I'm sorry, her father, Mitt Romney. She flooded his campaign with money. And then she flooded money to an Alaskan race between two fucking Republicans. No, we were never going to lose that race in Alaska, either way it went. Both were whatever options, you know, not particularly anything to write home about. But here we are, right? And McDaniels floods that race with money. Meanwhile, Herschel Walker is flailing in the fucking wind. And look, Dr. Oz was a sucky candidate. And Fetterman's actually proven to be kind of entertaining in the long run. But she should have sent money to Dr. Oz's campaign. She didn't. She avoided that campaign, actually. And she avoided Herschel Walker's campaign. Herschel Walker could have won. I think Oz maybe could have won. It's hard to say with that. Anyway, moving on. As part of the shift, Whatley wrote, the RNC will be merging operations with the Trump campaign. We are united front. I already read that. Now, the thing is, after this, in 2028, let's say a Republican nominee gets up there that the Trump family does not like. Does the RNC do the same for them? I hope so. Because that's the job of the RNC. The RNC's job is literally not to play favorites. Whatley, the former president's daughter-in-law, Whatley and the former president's daughter-in-law, I knew I skipped a word there, Laura Trump, were elected to succeed the former chair and co-chair who left the RNC last week, Bafalisha following a turbulent string of elections that yielded less than stellar results for Republicans. A core focus this year will also be building and advancing the, quote, most effective election integrity program that has ever existed to safeguard our elections, Whatley said. In the memo, several new hires were announced who will oversee the RNC's integrity operations. Charlie Spies. Oh, I was hoping it was going to be Charlie LaDuff. You know who Charlie LaDuff is? He's an actual journalist. Such a good journalist, he left Fox 2 Detroit. Dude's great. No BS news. Been a fan of his for a while. If you see American flag cowboy boots walking up to you, and some suave-looking motherfucker, oh, you're about to be confronted by the problem solver. That's his nickname. He was part of a team called the Problem Solvers, which was like an investigative journalist team. But then he became the Problem Solver. And now that he's just known as the Problem Solver. It's great. And he wasn't even like the most veteran person when he joined up. But now he's like the guy. Anyway. Charlie LaDuff. No BS news. Dude's a fucking legend. Charlie Spies, RNC Chief Counsel. Attorney with the Washington, D.C. firm Dickinson Wright. Just like Joe Biden and his son Beau, you got Dick your son right. Oh, feel bad for that one. You know, you really got to feel bad for Hunter Biden because you know Hunter Biden only got touched by his father when Joe was pushing him out of the way to get to his other siblings, like his sister. Never forget, Joe Biden showered with his daughter well into her late teens. So just like the economy, Joe Biden fucked to completion with that one, right? Anyway. Working with national political organizers and campaigns. And who was honored as the 2023 Republican Lawyer of the Year? Interesting. Okay, so I have heard of him. Robert Bob. Senior Counsel for Election Integrity. Ex-U.S. Marine and former Trump attorney. Bill McGinley. Outside counsel for election integrity, longtime election attorney who served with the White House cabinet secretary in the Trump administration. Quote, our election integrity priorities this cycle will include a broader effort. Oh, pardon me. I'll just suffer. Anyway. We'll cycle including broader efforts over the coming months to challenge voter identification and signature verification rules, which were put in place in the 2020 election, the memo states. Quote, the RNC's new posture as it relates to this... I got some dry in my throat. Give me 1 second. I'm going to upload the video. Woke up the other day to tons of snow. Fuck you, Pennsylvania, Phil. And everything's changing. You know, so I got these sinuses acting up. Okay. Red, white, and blue tribute, rip it to the rescue. I haven't even had breakfast yet. Breakfast champions right there. Alright, let's continue on. Coming months to challenge voter identification and signature verification rules, which were put into place in the 2020 election. This memo states, quote, the RNC's new posture as it relates to this legislation will be an aggressive, proactive effort to ensure that it will be easy to vote and hard to cheat. Whatley also pledges to boost political operations on a state-by-state basis, focusing on, quote, organizations in communities that are not traditionally Republican. Nice. A move which could help the party capitalize on the growing number of black and Hispanic voters severing ties with the Democrat election cycle. This election cycle. Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is what I talked about, too. Even beforehand, when there wasn't like a significant switch in black, Asian, and Latino voters to the Republican Party, hardcore, like in the double-digit percentages right now. With that going on, I've been saying this for a while, even before all that, you need to start really focusing hard on these groups. You know, have Republicans volunteer at, like, community centers. Have Republicans go out. Like, this is something I do. I walk around. I live in a living situation by the government name of Section 8. Me and my homies run an unlicensed business operation where we run multiple sections of this town. Fucking, I love that whole copypasta. That's one of the best green texts out there ever. That's not even a green text. Someone posted it in the green text section, even though it didn't belong there. But it was still fucking legendary. Anyway, back to topic. I walk around this area, right? Now, I've lived in Detroit for a brief period of time. Not from Detroit, but I've lived in Detroit. And where I live now isn't exactly, you know, Bel Air, right? I live more akin to where Will Smith left than where he lived. I'm gonna stop with the jokes. I walk around in a MAGA hat. I don't get any shit. Now, in 2016, I got a little bit of shit. In 2020, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I still got more thumbs up and compliments than I did shit. But, you know, I still got a fair bit of shit. I don't hear anything but compliments these days. And if it's if it's somebody being like, it's always like some old fucker or some really, somebody who was born with some birth issues. Like some dopey, cross-eyed, pug-nosed dude who looks like the Amerimutt Wojek. You know, just some real fuggy-looking guy. And they're like, you really should just get away. It's like, dog, I think your handlers need to stop parking you in front of CNN. You need a break. Go flip your wheelchair and touch some grass. But you gotta go out in these communities and plant the seeds, right? I work in my community, pick up litter, volunteer at some community centers, talk to people, hold doors for people. No one gives me shit. I get compliments. People be like, man, I don't fuck with Trump, I'll fuck with this guy. And I'll get dabbed up. That's how it goes. You gotta set a precedent for who you are and what you represent. No one's a particular monolith, and no one is a like prime example of any political ideology, but normies don't really think about that. They're kind of just like, oh, a person wearing a MAGA hat, picking up litter in my community? And everyone's like the protagonist of their own story, right? Even though it's not, you know, I think it is majority black area that I live in. But it's not like visually a majority black. You see a pretty good mix of everybody, right? But, you know, to a black person, this is a predominantly black city. To an Asian person, no. But to, like, a Mexican, I could easily see some guy, like, Mexican heritage being like, oh, this is a predominantly Hispanic area. I could easily see someone coming up with that idea, too. Same thing, I could see a bunch of white people being like, this is a predominantly white area. So everyone thinks, you know, they are a fair representation of their area, when I'm sure you're not. But they're gonna see, you know, they see me. I'm out there picking up litter, got my little trash bag. And I see some guy in a MAGA hat picking up junk, picking up litter on the side of the road. And they're like, hey, what's this white boy in a MAGA hat doing in a black community, in an Asian community, in a Hispanic community, picking up litter? Who the fuck is this guy? And, you know, you do that, you get kind of a reputation. People see you doing shit. They remember seeing you doing shit, especially if it's good shit. The amount of people who honk their horns, like, thank you! Or they'll be like, I don't necessarily know if I like the hat, but I love what you're doing, thank you so much! Or they'll be like, I fuck with the hat, and the fuck what you're doing, dog, thanks! People remember that. We get so caught up in our own thing, we think, like, our actions just, for no reason, right? We believe our actions have no impact on the long run of things. And it does. It does. I don't know why people act like, oh, I don't know, I go to my community, you know. It's still possible to know who your neighbors are, right? Like, you know, we always hear all the time, like, you don't know who your neighbors are. I know who all my neighbors are. I got some very progressive leftist neighbors currently, and I always have. Old union lefties moved out, and new gender-confused lefties moved in. That's how that went. But whatever, I see them, I give them a thumbs up, and for the first couple days, they wouldn't even look at me. They'd be like, oh, hey, Morton, how's it going? They just, like, look at me. I got a fucking Trump 2024 sign in the air, and I got one of those, this home believes, but except for mine says, the federal government is an organized gang, the CIA is a mafia. I got that one, right? You know, they wouldn't look at me, they'd be like, ugh. But now it's like, hey, good morning, how's it going? They're like, hi. Yeah, hi. You know, it's not exactly like the warmest greeting, but it's a greeting. You know, I just kept the positivity. I know my neighbors across the street, I know my neighbors down the block, I know a couple people in the neighborhood, right? It's just because I go around here, I talk to people. You know, you should do the same thing in your community. Go out there, talk to your neighbors. You see them on the sidewalk, you go check your mail. You just walk past somebody, you live in an apartment, say, how's it going, man? When you walk by your neighbor, that neighbor's gonna take note of that. And if you do it, like, you see that neighbor, you see any of your neighbors, like, hey, man, how's it going? Have a good day. And you just keep walking. You ask them, how's it going? Hope you have a good day. You don't even need to wait for them to answer. You just say that, smile, wave, keep walking. They're gonna start remembering you. They're gonna start remembering you as this friendly dude. And hey, is there any weirdo that has bad intentions in your neighbor, in your area? Guess what? You're off that list. Whatever list that motherfucker was making, you're suddenly off of it. It's like the Dan Cook joke about the silent kid going, boom, boom. Thanks for the candy. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up Dan Cook, thanks for the candy. It's a great joke about being friends with a school shooter. But the point is, you have to go out and plant the seeds in your community. All right, the area I live is a blue area. But it's going more and more red. And I've seen that. I'm not saying it's because of me. But it doesn't hurt that I've gone out and talked to people. That I'm, you know, you have people like, I've had black people come to me, when was America great? And it's like, well, dog, the fact that you can walk up to me, get in my face, and yell that shit at me like you know me, and nothing bad happens to you. We can start there. And the conversation will go from there. It's like, you don't know me, back up a little bit, hold on, I'll happily talk to you, dog, but you came up real aggressive. If you say, dog, you came up real aggressive, you need to back up real quick. We'll talk, but hold up, give me like 6 feet. Not always, but like 9 times out of 10, they'll be like, we'll back up a little bit, like, what? Like, dog, platinum plan. Yeah, I remember, a lot of people, a handful of black people voting this cycle for Trump for the first time, were like, he gave me stimmy checks. So you gotta have that Obama phone mentality sometimes, you know, the whole, he gave me my Obama phone. Trump gave me that stimmy check. I want that Trump stimmy check. Yeah, I'd be like, dog, platinum plan. You don't know about the platinum plan? What about all those black historical colleges Trump secured funding for? Now you have their ears. Now you have their attention. Right? And it's like, what? You didn't hear about that? Yeah. Did you hear, dog? You got Google? Just ask Google. Trump secures funding for black historical colleges. And they'll be like, Google, Trump secures funding for black historical colleges. And the first thing you see when you do that right here, from the AP News, right? What black colleges did Trump secure funding for? Trump signs bill restoring funding for black colleges. From December 19th, 2019. And there's articles back to 2017 and 2018 with different colleges in the HBCU and Trump's administration. You have all those results, right? And I've seen it in real time. His brothers are like, wait, hold up, what? And then they just read through the article and be like, what? Hold up. I never heard of this. It's like, I know. And here's why, dog. They don't want you to. Some advice to you listeners. There's a song by a group called Goody Mob called Cell Therapy. Look it up. Almost every black person over the age of 30 has heard this song a few times. Remind them of it. Be like, dog, ever heard that song by Goody Mob called Cell Therapy? And they talk about how, like, the CIA be manipulating news stories to keep black people and Americans in general uninformed and voting for people who hurt them. That shit. Lights. Turn on. Circuit board. Revitalize. They're like, hold up, I got played. It's like, yeah, you got played. That's the thing. You could win these hearts and minds. You just got to plant the seeds in that community. And that's a vital role of what they're doing right now. And you can do that too in your community. You can go out and talk to people. If you're a progressive and you think you can sell people on that, do what I'm telling you to do. Go out there and talk to your neighbors. Good luck. Because once you start actually explaining like progressive values to like black and Latinos, that shit does not sell to them, dog. You're talking about like a largely Baptist group and a largely, you know, sub-Western Catholic group. That's not going to sell with them groups very well. But let's continue on. Political operations on a state-by-state basis, focusing on, quote, organizing in communities that are not traditionally Republican, a move which could help the party capitalize on a growing number of black Hispanic voters, severing ties with the Democrats of this election cycle. It's absolutely true. And a handful of black people, dog, like, shit. If I'm estimating here, this is, again, in the double digits. It's like, man, where'd you learn all this shit? It's like, I watch people like ABL. You ever heard of ABL? No, a guy named Anthony Brian Logan? Anthony Brian Logan's all right. There's a dude named Officer Tatum. And they're like, Tatum? Yeah, Officer Tatum. Big-ass black dude, bodybuilder. Used to be a cop. Yeah, he's got this book called Beating Black and Blue. It's pretty good. Oh, you know, I'll be watching this guy named Jesse Lee Peterson. I'll be watching these dudes called the Hodge Twins. You know, Hodge Twins are pretty dumb. They're like, Hodge? Yeah, hey, you ever, oh, you know about the Hodge Twins? It's like, no, I don't know the Hodge Twins, but they sound like some brothers. They are. They're light-skinned, but they're pretty funny. You know, I go down the list like that. I got a list of Asian conservative people I watch. I got a list of Hispanic Asian conservative and libertarian people I watch. Even Asian, yo, shout out to Philosopher, the libertarian politics chick. She's dope, you know? That's what I be doing, man. I'm at work, I'm listening to left and right commentators all day. I'll go from, like, watching Six X and Hammer to watching Destiny to watching fucking Jimmy Dore to watching the Minority Report. I know how it's actually said, fuck that guy, Sam Cedar's a cuck, fuck Sam Cedar. You know, I'll watch Ethan Klein, and then next thing you know, I'm watching the Hodge twins. Like, I'm just kind of ping-ponging. I want to know what the left is saying so I can straw-man them better. You know, I read the Communist Manifesto to properly hate communism. Dispelling rumors that the RNC is closing community centers, Whatley advises that the organization will be aggressively pursuing programs to grow our base and maximize opportunities to engage with Americans, utilizing all existing tools for our voters to cast ballots. Additionally, the RNC has stepped up efforts to bolster its data operation and fundraising campaigns to ensure Republicans have, quote, the necessary funds to win up and down the ballot, Whatley wrote, quote, right here from a comic called Grape Drink. Yo, I love that purple shit. I'm glad they're going on the offensive after the night of long knives. That's, oh boy, you know, I'm 50% German. You can imagine where some of that German came from. It's a interesting time to read that. Don't know if that has anything in common with this. I don't think the night of the long knives and firing a bunch of, like, the fucking shitty Republicans have anything in common. Oof, you don't know about the night of the long knives. Well, it's an interesting little story of Hitler's generosity to people who didn't like him. It's been a long time coming, and it's time for Freedom Factions. It's time the Freedom Factions show that we're sick and tired of these neocons squatting on our rightful clay. That's the nice way of putting it. If they're incapable of taking the heat, they should get out of the kitchen. I agree, Grape Drink. Now, what was something they did to really get the ball going on this? Right here. Laura Trump announces RNC will hire Scott Pressler to lead its legal ballot harvesting operations. Now, this guy, he's great. I've met him before. He does a lot of, it's not hard to meet him. If you follow any of your local GOP stuff on, like, Facebook or whatever the fuck, he does breakfasts. You know, you'll be like, pancake breakfast in the park with Scott Pressler. Pancake breakfast at IHOP with Scott Pressler. Red Hat Foundation and Scott Pressler. You know, the little old lady with the red hats. Yeah, them. Red Hat ladies meet up at IHOP with Scott Pressler. You know, they do that. Scott Pressler, Relay for Life, fundraiser. Shit like that. There's a lot of these outreach things, and he's particularly, you know what, for the way he talks like a really effeminate guy. Kind of has, like, a Dylan Mulvaney voice. Right? And, man, I've seen this dude talk to people, and it's amazing how this motherfucker can cut through the veil with anybody. Like me, I do not have it in me to change the mind of waspy motherfuckers or your white toast suburban white folk. I do not have the ability to change these people's types of minds, like, at all. Now, you take me out of, like, a nice gated community, and you drop my ass in the middle of the project, I will make friends, I'll make homies, and I'll get the fuck back home real quick after that. But Scott Pressler can just walk in all these fucking aisles like it ain't shit. He'll talk to multimillionaires and billionaires. They'll turn around and talk to, like, people from the slums. And they'll talk to people in the middle collar, in the middle class, in the blue collar section. And it's all the same shit all the way through, right? And it's like, can't do that myself, dog. I fucking admire that trait, though. And it's just kind of impressive to see this dude, right, in action. And I mean it. If you're listening to this and you're like, I don't really care about it. Fair enough. I assume you do because you clicked on the episode with this title, but yeah, Scott Pressler is a very good dude when it comes to this kind of shit, and he's the most aggressive, prolific, on-the-ground ballot collector. He also gets the most people every year, I think starting in 2017, I think is when he started, to now? He gets the most people every year to sign up for the Republican Party. And it's great. Part of what I was saying with clean up litter and shit, I got the idea from him. Scott Pressler literally is one of the people that gave me the idea to go, like, hey, just pick up litter in your area. Now, I was also raised that, you know, good deeds precede good deeds and predicate good deeds, or however the saying goes. But, you know, so I always went out there and held the doors for people anyway. Slap on a MAGA hat while I do it, double the message. Continuing on. Quote, we also had to start thinking about things like legal ballot harvesting, something we've never embraced as a party, said Laura Trump. Yeah, and part of the reasons why the right's having such a hard time with it is because the right was literally told for years that ballot harvesting is evil and the worst thing imaginable that you could fucking do. And now they're being told, hey, this is the best chance you got for winning right now. And I've been saying this, ballot harvest, back to 2018 was when I first started advocating. It was back in the show, it was a little bit different. Like, you know, the right should really be ballot harvesting. It's legal in a lot of states. But, you know, at least you're at the party. It's better late than never, I guess. Article by Katie Davenport. The Republican National Committee, RNC, under new chair Laura Trump, announced on Friday that they will be working closely with Scott Pressler to increase the voter turnout ahead of the U.S. 2024 presidential election in November. The announcement was made by the RNC's new chair, co-chair Laura Trump. Scott Pressler is a prominent conservative activist who has become notable for registering thousands of conservative voters and teaching at voter registration workshops across the country. Pressler will lead the RNC's legal ballot chasing operations, a ballot harvesting strategy that has been used by the Democrat National Committee, which Republicans believe has given the opposition a competitive advantage in the election across the nation. It's now game on, according to Laura Trump. And I told, hey, some of y'all remember me saying this a while back. The GOP was actively working on building the largest ballot harvesting operation. We're already building that machine. This? Well, we're trying to build, you know, an armored election vehicle, and you just basically brought in Marvin Haymeyer to help you reinforce that bitch. I think we're good now. You know what I mean? Has anybody else been flooded with killdozer memes lately? I've been flooded with killdozer memes lately, and I'm starting to wonder if I'm surrounded by feds. The memes are really good, though, which is why I don't think they're feds, but it's very funny that I'm like, I've seen people who I've known since high school who are normies, imagine you know everything, like, people who out there who know a ton about Marvin Haymeyer and who he is and the killdozer. How would you feel if, like, that church-going 78-year-old grandma who shares funny cat videos all of a sudden started sharing a bunch of Marvin Haymeyer memes? Yeah, I've been seeing that. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting bellwether on how the normies are feeling. And then I'm just looking around and seeing more and more people sharing late Marvin Haymeyer memes. I've been seeing the quotes, I was a reasonable man, being shared around, like, in the comments of, like, IRS posts on Facebook and shit. And I'm just like, oh, no. These aren't even people I'm related to. These are just people, like, who've been family friends or people I've known for a while. A lot of them were, like, Blue Union types not too long ago. Now they're sharing Marvin Haymeyer memes. Interesting. Wow! RNC co-chair Laura Trump just revealed she will bring Scott Pressler on to lead the legal ballot harvesting operation division.
Yes, one of the biggest lies and the most pernicious lie, I think, that's ever been told to the American people.
Side note, I don't have my glasses, I can't find them right now, and the other pair I had accidentally broke. I fell asleep wearing them, and I took them off in the middle, I put them on the pillow next to me, they slid off the bed, and I stepped on them. So my dyslexia, is acting up a little bit, sorry.
Is that 2020 was the most secure election in our lifetime. Oh. You've leveled a lawsuit against Michigan. Now you're saying that you are, like, the RNC is going to invest big time in chasing ballots. Can you talk me through the structure of ensuring that, let's just call it, all of the shenanigans, the funny business, the downright criminality, the illegality and the rigging in the electoral process does not happen again in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are millions of people, I'm going to say 75 million plus Americans, who still are like, what the hell happened in 2020? They didn't get any answers. They all wanted us to move on, but they all feel like something was awry, something was amiss, because let's be honest, 81 million people were not so inspired by a guy campaigning out of his basement who could barely string two sentences together. They said, we're going to come out big for this guy. Absolutely not. No one believes that. So at the RNC, it is something that we're taking incredibly seriously. We have the first ever election integrity division. This is an entire wing of the building dedicated solely to that. So how do you do that? Right now, you just talked about a lawsuit we have in Michigan. We have in 23 states, 78 lawsuits single-handedly to address this issue to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat in 2024. We know about all the states who illegally changed their voting laws in 2020.
Jump in here real quick. Yeah, I'm an elected Michigan representative, precinct delegate specifically. dude, the amount of neocons and boomers, and now I'm calling them neocons, unless I'm on this show. Usually when I'm in conversation with people in person, I say neo-wigs, which is what they actually are. They're really not neocons, they're neo-wigs. But it's a little bit more of a in the thick of it kind of a point to make. Yeah, these lawsuits sent ripples through the GOP, and I made mental notes of the people who had a bad reaction to that lawsuit. And I systematically, in my part, helped, at least in my county, vote these fuckers out. It's been nice. It's been fun.
20 under the guise of COVID.
Oh, by the way, to the precinct delegates who abandoned and quit coming to the meetings and quit being engaged, you guys are a bunch of faggy fucking pussies, and we do not miss you. You are a disgusting embarrassment to everything it means to be in the GOP. Actually, as somebody who's refused to become a card-carrying Republican. But people like you are why I refuse to join the party. Now, maybe if this kind of stuff continues happening, you might actually get me amongst your ranks. But as of for now, you have me as an elected GOP, not as a card-carrying GOP member. And even with my deep-seated differences with a lot of the people in the GOP, I haven't abandoned my fucking post like some of you listening to this have. To my audience, that's not targeted at you. To the handful of precinct delegates who I've met, who I know, listen to this show, and quit coming to the meetings, you are flaccid, feckless fucking failures. Do not run for re-election. I will make your life hell. Just remember that.
It flips some of those background, but it also adds an extra layer of protection on top of that. In addition, we now have the ability to train poll workers. These are not just poll watchers, people who physically stand in a polling location and kind of look around and maybe might be able to see something. These are people, Benny, who get to handle a ballot, who can count the ballots coming in and the ballots going out, so they know what the numbers should be at the end of the day. On top of that, we are also hiring and we are asking for volunteer attorneys all across this country. We want you in a polling location near you every single minute that there is voting going on, because we want to be able to address a problem immediately in real time. We cannot wait until it's too late. We also have to strike the fear of God in people who would ultimately be cheating.
Agreed.
In this capacity.
Agreed.
If you are a person who is paid to cheat, do not do it, because we will come after you. The full extent of the law will be laid on you. We will prosecute the hell out of you. It's not worth it. Don't do it. But we also have to start thinking about things like legal ballot harvesting, something we've never embraced as a party. We're going to start doing it now. I'm going to have a call very soon with Scott Pressler, who is an amazing vote registrar. He has registered so many people in this country. I think he's fantastic. I want him on our legal ballot harvesting division. We also have to embrace early voting, Benny. I know we want one day of voting in this country. It doesn't exist right now. We've got to bank enough votes going into November 5th that we're not playing catch up on election day. We need to swamp the system so it doesn't matter how many 3 a.m. drops they have or suitcases filled with ballots. There will be no question on the night of November 5th that Donald Trump is elected as the 47th president.
So unbelievably based. I got chills. I got chills. I'm sitting here. I'm like the entire team is like cheering and screaming like online. It's like, yes, Scott Pressler, please.
Yeah.
He's like,
hey, real quick. Hey, Benny. No offense, bud. You're in like your late 30s. Don't do the Gen Z haircut, please. It's, look, most people in my generation hate that haircut. Just a little tip. Gen Z doesn't like that haircut. The broccoli haircuts, we make fun of those people. We mock them. We call them broccoli cuts. We call them broccoli boys. There's a series of names for them. Island boy cuts. Yeah, we make fun of people. That's this generation's fuckboy haircut. Benny, lose that shit. What the fuck is that on top of your head, dog? Oh, boy. Grandpa's got a toupee on.
He's an ally of the show. We love him so much. And so this will finally become real. The internet will win, and Scott Pressler will be part of the integrated process to actually save America. Yes.
He is the first person I thought of whenever the whole idea of the RNC was floated to me. I said, if I end up there, if I'm co-chair of the RNC, I want to bring him in, because what a job that guy has done. Not only should he be rewarded for it, but we want to give him more jobs to do up until November 5th and then well beyond.
Wow, absolutely amazing. Maybe the only other person at the RNC that could match you in how spectacular your hair is.
That's true. That's actually true.
Yeah.
Better than yours, Benny.
Truly. There you go.
Yes, maybe it's Maybelline.
One of the biggest lies and the most pernicious lie, I think, that's ever been told to the American people
Is that where it ended? Yep. All right. Let me make sure.
We want to give them more jobs to do up until
we'll be. And so this will finally become.
If I end up there, if I'm.
Wow. Okay.
Truly.
Let me make sure I got everything. Continue on. Speaking to Benny Johnson, who is the host, you know what? You get the idea. This article is just going to be a transcription of what you just watched. So I'm going to spare that here and wrap this up. This has been Inside Four Walls. I've been your host, James Madison, your shit talker in chief. And I'll be back to run my yap, yap, yap. Yeah, it's 7:30. I got to get ready because I work at 9. So yeah, instead of this going up on a Wednesday, this will be a Thursday upload. So yeah, I'll... Wednesday, James. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Bye.